To fail to forget God's benefits is because of pride. Either we think we deserve them, or we are complaining and grumbling about what we think we deserve that we didn't get. Look and don't forget the many ways that God has dealt bountifully with you.
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and today Tom begins a four-part series titled Forget None of His Benefits. Friend, do you often meditate on the benefit that we as Christians have received from our Heavenly Father? In Psalm 103, David rehearses what God has done for his people and the many benefits that we experience because of God's goodness in Christ. As a result, this psalm calls God's people to praise and worship him and to live in light of the blessings that every believer has received in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this series, Tom will expound upon the richness of such benefits and how they compel you as a believer to glorify your great God. Well, Tom, as we begin this series on Psalm 103, could you explain why this psalm is still applicable to us today?
Well, first of all, just generally, the scripture is always relevant. God's word is forever settled in the heavens. There's never a time when it's not relevant. But also, Psalm 103 gives us a divine record of how we can offer our praise and our thanksgiving to God. Certainly appropriate in this season. David's words outline for us how we can come to the throne of grace and truly give God thanks. Everything within us, all of the passion within us, our entire being, should be aimed at praising God. My prayer is that we would often take time to thank him for the five reasons that we're going to work through as we study Psalm 103 together.
Thanks, Tom. And friend, let's join our teacher now for today's study here on The Word Unleashed.
Well, as you know, of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving. And almost every person in our country will celebrate the holiday with food and family and football. But what won't happen in most homes this week is Thanksgiving. Most won't truly express any thanks to God. And even those who take time to sort of mentally or verbally list what they're thankful for still typically won't take time to express their gratitude to God for those things. Listen carefully. There is a huge difference between saying I'm thankful and actually giving thanks to God for the blessings that you enjoy. Sinful man, as a habit, does not give thanks to God. In fact, keep your finger in Psalm 103, but look back at Romans chapter 1 and just remember what Paul says there. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, talking about how God has revealed himself in the creation, he says, even though they knew God, mankind has seen the truth about God in the creation and has understood that truth. This is always a reminder, by the way, that God doesn't believe in atheists. He has given every man a clear understanding of himself and creation, and the only way that someone lands differently is to suppress that truth, according to Romans 1. But how does sinful man respond to this revelation of God? They knew about God from the creation. Verse 21 says, they did not honor him as God. The word honor is literally glorify. They didn't glorify him as God. And this isn't accidental. Notice verse 28, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. You see, the sinner's response to God is willful rebellion, willful rejection of God's right to rule their lives, willful rejection of the lordship of their Creator. So sinful man refuses to glorify God as God. But notice in verse 21, there's a second manifestation of man's hard heart. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks. At the core of human sinfulness is a refusal to give God thanks. That's what our Lord said in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. He says, God is kind to ungrateful and evil men. You see, rebellion against God doesn't begin with atheism. I love the way Oz Guinness puts it. He says, rebellion against God does not begin with a clenched fist of atheism, but with the self-satisfied heart of the one for whom thank you is redundant, end quote. Gratitude is one of man's chief duties toward the God who created us and sustains us. But unbelievers manifest their hard hearts by refusing to give God thanks. I don't think it can be put any better than French Huguenot pastor Jean Dye said. He said, thankless men are like swine feeding on acorns, which though they fall upon their heads, never make them look up to the tree from which they come, end quote. But at the same time that unbelievers are prone by nature to be ungrateful, let's just admit that even we as believers often struggle to give God thanks. Why is that? Well, I think biblically there are three primary reasons that we struggle. I'll just list them for you. First of all, I think we struggle with gratitude because we don't understand what we do deserve and what we don't deserve. In other words, we don't really understand our sinfulness and the reality that all we deserve from God is eternal hell. And that produces pride, and pride is the chief enemy of thanksgiving. Here's how it's put in 2 Chronicles 32:25. Hezekiah, a believer, gave no return for the benefit he received. He didn't thank God for the extra 15 years of life that God granted him. Why? Because his heart was proud. You see, pride convinces us that we deserve what we have, or it convinces us to complain because we deserve more than we have or different than we have. Augustine put it this way, God's benefits will not be before our eyes unless our sins be also before our eyes. In other words, it's only as we understand our sinfulness that we're driven to gratitude because we understand we deserve nothing from God. A second reason I think we struggle with gratitude is we don't understand the goodness of God. We don't truly understand the character of God. And a third reason is we don't recognize or we don't rehearse all of God's blessings to us. Today, I want to see how the scripture directly addresses reasons 2 and 3 in one of the most familiar and beloved psalms in the Psalter, Psalm 103. Let me just point out to you the theme of this psalm is the only right response to God for all of the blessings we receive from his hand is to praise him and to give him thanks. There's not a single request in this psalm. Instead, it's a hymn of thanksgiving. Stevenson writes this, it is an exquisite song of thanksgiving. It is the outpouring of a heaven-taught gratitude. It is the spiritual hymn of a redeemed sinner singing and making melody in his heart to the Lord. It is suited for all ages, appropriate to all persons, and applicable to all conditions. Every nation under heaven may equally adopt its language. You'll notice that the heading, the title says that it's of David, meaning that David penned this psalm, which means it was written some 3,000 years ago. Its structure is fairly simple. In verses 1 and 2, we see a call to personal praise and thanksgiving. Then in verses 3 through 5, reasons for personal praise and thanksgiving. In fact, you'll notice in verses 3 through 5 that David uses singular personal pronouns, me and my, as he talks to himself. But it's not merely a private psalm. He wrote it as a poem to be sung by all of God's people corporately when they came together for worship. So it's like David is the soloist leading us out in worship at the beginning of the psalm, inviting us all to join him later. And that brings us to verses 6 through 18, the third division of the psalm in which David gives us reasons for corporate praise and thanksgiving. In these verses, he uses the plural personal pronouns, we and us and our, as he voices the reasons for corporate praise as we unite our hearts together to praise our great God. And then verses 19 to 22 is a call to universal praise and thanksgiving. So in verses 1 and 2 then, we have a call to personal praise and thanksgiving. A call to personal praise and thanksgiving. And this call, fortunately, begins by explaining to us what the practice of praise and thanksgiving looks like, or we could say what the pattern of praise and thanksgiving should look like. Verse 1, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Notice, first of all, its expression, the expression of praise and thanksgiving. It's the word bless. Bless is a Hebrew word for praise. We talk about God blessing us. How do we bless God? Well, it doesn't mean we give something to God other than praise. It means we speak well of God. We praise him. But this word bless has mixed with it the idea of warm gratitude. So it's praise and thanksgiving all mixed together. Bless Yahweh. Davidson writes, to bless the Lord is to acknowledge that all that makes life richly meaningful comes to us as a gift that we should never take for granted. So think of bless as praise and thanksgiving combined. Notice its object, Yahweh. This is the only name of God that's used in the psalm. It is the personal name of the one true and living God. As I've told you before, Yahweh is what we say. When God speaks, he calls himself I am. When we speak, we say Yahweh, which means he is. It's appropriate that this is the name for God. The name here means that he is the only self-existent one. He's the only person who exists who relies completely and solely upon himself and on nothing and no one else. It's appropriate that this name would be given because he's the one who gives us all things, who needs nothing. By the way, this reminds us, the fact that we're to bless Yahweh, reminds us, listen carefully, it's not thanksgiving unless we're giving it to the one true God, the fountain of every good thing. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Listen, this thanksgiving, you will not give thanks by making a list of what you're thankful for. You will give thanks when you bless Yahweh for what he has done. What is the origin of this praise and thanksgiving? Notice it is my soul. My soul is nephesh in Hebrew. It's everything that makes me what I am. It's my entire being. With my entire being, I am to praise and thank God. It must enlist every part of us, the entire person. It's not enough to show up at a Thanksgiving service and your body to be here. The only way that real Thanksgiving will happen now or this week is if your entire soul, your entire being is engaged. And notice its passion. All that is within me. Now that expression may simply be synonymous with my soul. It could mean exactly the same thing. My soul is all that is within me. But it's also possible that this expression, all that is within me, refers to the passion or the fervency with which we're to offer our praise and thanks. It's like the phrase, you shall love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength. It may have that idea. David calls every fiber of his entire being to bless Yahweh, all that is within me. And notice the practice of praise and thanksgiving requires resolve. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Notice you have verse 1, that expression. Verse 2, it occurs again. You see, the way David begins this psalm is a powerful reminder that praise and thanksgiving don't just happen. They don't happen by accident. They're deliberate. They require intentional effort. Yahweh is inherently worthy of our praise and thanksgiving, but we must stir our own hearts up to worship. Even David had to speak to his own heart and remind himself of the importance of praise and thanksgiving. And let me say to you, as I say to myself, the only way that real praise and thanksgiving will happen in your heart and in your home this week is if you intentionally call yourself to offer God thanks. Apart from that, there'll be no thanksgiving. So that's the practice of praise and thanksgiving, beautifully expressed in those few words. But in this call, we not only discover the practice, we also discover the categories of praise and thanksgiving. As the psalm unfolds, David is going to give us a whole list of reasons. But in verses 1 and 2, he gives us two great categories that all those reasons fall into. The first category is God's holy name. Notice verse 1, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Here it is, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. We should praise God with warm hearts of gratitude for his holy name. In biblical terms, God's holy name means his unique character. It's all those qualities, those perfections that distinguish him from everything and everyone else. We're going to see them as the psalm unfolds. Look down at verse 8. Here's his holy name. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We are called to praise and thank God for who he is, for his holy name. But there's a second category of praise and thanksgiving in verse 2, and it's God's countless benefits. God's countless benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Now, for a moment, take off your English hat and put on a Hebrew hat, because when we use the English word forget, we usually mean something has slipped our minds. There's no moral culpability. There's no guilt. We just forgot. I forgot where I put my keys, or I forgot to make that call. There's no moral culpability to it whatsoever. But with the Hebrew words forget and its opposite remember, it's far more deliberate. In Hebrew, to forget means that you, with culpable negligence or deliberate intent, dismiss something from your mind that you ought to actively recall. Let me show you an example. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Moses warns the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. Deuteronomy 8:11, beware that you do not forget Yahweh your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Verse 12, otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, verse 14, then your heart will become proud. There it is again. Pride is the enemy of thanksgiving. Your heart becomes proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Look at verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant. So you see, in biblical terms, to forget happens, to fail to forget God's benefits is because of pride. Either we think we deserve them, or we are complaining and grumbling about what we think we deserve that we didn't get. But to remember is to intentionally call something to mind. That's really what David is admonishing us to do there in verse 2. He's saying, intentionally call this to mind. What? Verse 2. Forget none of his benefits. In Hebrew, benefits speaks of God's dealings with us. In fact, the same language is used down in verse 10. He has not dealt with us. That's the idea. He's not dealt with us according to our sins. Instead, he has showered us with benefits. The verb form of this noun, benefits, is used in Psalm 13:6 like this. I will sing to Yahweh because he has dealt bountifully with me. That's the idea. Look and don't forget the ways, the many ways that God has dealt bountifully with you. So in the call to personal praise, we learn the practice or the pattern, what it looks like. And we also see the two overarching categories, God's character and his many benefits and blessings. But then in verses 3 through 5, David gets specific. And David lists in verses 3 through 5, five great reasons for personal praise and thanksgiving. Five great reasons. I wish I had time to really unpack these in detail, but I want to get through the psalm today and next time. So let me just give you some hooks on which to hang your thanksgiving. In a series of five Hebrew participles, David reminds us of what God had done for him and what God has done personally for every one of us who are true believers in the true God. You have experienced these benefits, and you are called, as I am called, to praise God and to give God thanks for these benefits. These benefits fall within the categories we just saw, God's character and the benefits generally. But let's look at these reasons. The first great reason we should praise and thank God, here's very specific, is that he pardons our sin and guilt. He pardons our sin and guilt. Verse 3, who pardons all your iniquities. All three Hebrew words for sin occur in this chapter. Here in verse 3, you have the word iniquities. In verse 10, you have the word sins. And in verse 12, you have the word transgressions. They're essentially synonyms, but each of these words for sin has its own sort of nuance. And the word iniquities here in verse 3 describes our sins as a deliberate turning off of the straight path. We make our way crooked. God has set a straight path before us in his law, and we deliberately veer off of that path. This word also includes the idea of legal guilt because we've made that choice. So not only is it that we have left the path that God has laid out for us, but we've done so deliberately, and with that deliberate choice comes real legal guilt before the God of the universe, the judge of all mankind. So how does God respond to the sins and the legal guilt of his people? Notice verse 3, he pardons all your iniquities. That's astounding. The word pardons is not the common Hebrew word for forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness between peers, like I forgive you, you forgive me. This Hebrew word is the forgiveness of someone in authority, someone like a king. That's why it's translated pardon. This is the character of our God. You remember when he declared his name in Exodus 34, after the list that we see repeated in verse 8 here in Psalm 103, in that same revelation, in Exodus 34, he says, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. God says, that's what I'm like. I'm a forgiver by nature. David experienced this very personally, as you know. Psalm 32, he wrote probably after, along with Psalm 51, after his sin against the Lord with Bathsheba and killing her husband Uriah. In Psalm 32, this is what he writes, verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. By the way, this is what's required for forgiveness. You have to come honestly to the Lord, and you have to unpack your sin before him. You have to admit that you and you alone are entirely responsible and guilty. And what does God do? He said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Psalm 86:5, you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Psalm 130, I love Psalm 130, verse 3. It says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, if you kept track of all the times I curved off the path of righteousness and you held me legally responsible for all of those, if you were to mark iniquities, the psalmist says, oh, Lord, who could stand? Let me just say, there isn't a person in this room, there isn't a person anywhere on this planet who can stand before God if God truly kept track of our iniquities and treated us as those iniquities deserved. But the psalmist goes on to say, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. How can God do this? How can God pardon all our iniquities? Well, the answer comes in the Old Testament, even before we get to the New. 200 years after David wrote this psalm, Isaiah wrote these words in Isaiah 53. Speaking of the Messiah, he was pierced through for our transgressions. And listen to this, he was crushed for our iniquities.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed with part one of his series titled Forget None of His Benefits. Tom will have part two for you on our next program, and we hope you'll join us then. Well, it's our prayer that you'll be enriched by the expository teaching of God's Word here on The Word Unleashed. We'd love to hear your story and how God is enriching you in your walk with Christ through this ministry. If you're a first-time listener, we invite you to contact us for a free copy of Tom's book, Jesus' High View of Scripture. It's our way to say thank you for listening to and supporting the ministry of The Word Unleashed. Visit us online and tap the subscribe button at thewordunleashed.org. That's thewordunleashed.org. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.